Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss a victory. Yes, a victory. Finally, it's been a little while now, we got the dub. I know a lot of folks were, especially some Packer fans that I know, they text me or say, oh, you screwed up your draft position. Oh, really? So we were only going to win one more game? I mean, if we were only going to win one more game, the game you want to win is obviously against the Green Bay Packers. So you guys can shove it up, well, where the sun don't shine. Anyway, we are back, and we are going to discuss this Viking victory. The offensive line had their best day in a long, long time. Cook was back healthy, and man, did he put on a display. Second half adjustments by what looked to be pretty shaky early on by the defense. But, man, they adjusted as well. Good in coverage. Got enough pressure. And, you know, we ended the game. We finally – I was so afraid that they were going to waste a Cook day like we did earlier this year, where a guy has – what do you have, like a buck 80 that game? And we ended up losing that game. So that was freaking phenomenal. So we're going to break it all down and you know, kind of – breeze through that game, because like I said, it was just, it's always good to beat the Pack. And then of course we got to look forward to the Detroit basketball. Okay, my bad. Detroit Lions game. We'll preview and predict that. And then per usual, we end the podcast talking some Gopher football, which that talk about living in Loserville. Missing an extra point, but it really didn't. It wasn't just that, as we know. The defense looked pretty freaking bad, especially early and late, right? Early and late is what got us. So we're gonna talk all about that. We'll be just getting into this in a moment. If this is your first time listening to this Vikings podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives here, but you know what? You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Up Radio and download the show there or listen to the browser. You don't have to do that. You can find this podcast under the Rope It Up Radio podcast at Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM. We get a lot of listens through that. Tune in really all across the board almost. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found a lot of different places, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football. It's basketball, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And one more thing before we get into this Vikings victory. I got something for you if you're thinking about cutting the cord. Maybe you have already and you're not quite happy. It's called AT&T TV. Now it's live streaming cable. They have the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract. Once you sign up, beyond the free trial, the plan started as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And just for signing up right now, you get a free month, 30-day free trial of HBO Max. Here's another layer to the deal. If you sign up for the Max package, that already includes HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month. That's AT&T TV Now. Okay, I mean, mid to late October was like an eye-opener, talking from a Minnesota perspective, obviously. We got like 8 inches of snow, set a record for that early of an amount. We all know for October 31st, the record was back in the day. But it was kind of frightful. It was like, whoa, what's the temperature? It's snowing this much? We've already seen snow in the air before it even all came down. But then we had a break in weather. And even right now, it's 64 degrees. That might sound funky to some people. But a high of 66, maybe get up to the 70s again on Friday. All sunshine. It was 74 today. Gorgeous day. So that, you know, you got to love that. No doubt about it. It's election night. We're not going to talk politics on the show, but hopefully you went out there and vote. Now, first of all, I want to bring in my co-host Aaron and just see how he's doing on this fine. What seems to – it almost felt like a late April day today.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. But 2-5 feels good, man. It feels real good. It feels a lot better than 1-5. You know, and beating the team over on the East always is good. So it's great to split with them. I think that's an important part for just everybody's psyche around here. And, you know, what can you say? Win is a win is a win.
That's all you need to say. And like I said to all those folks talking about, oh, you messed up your draft. Dude, you really thought we weren't going to win another game? I mean, really? Even the most negative person would give us one or two more. But, wow, one more game. Well, if it was, like I said, the Packers were the team for us to beat. But, you know, the first half, it felt like, wow, are we going to be able to stop them? Because remember, the last four possessions, they scored 28 points from that first game. They ran over us. It was ugly. It was ugly, no doubt about it. But we know that Green Bay doesn't have as good a defense as they did last year. I mean, obviously, we don't either. But that saved us as well. But if you look at it, it was a really strange – I mean, there was four possessions that took up, like, everything but 31 seconds. And you really rarely see that. I mean, they come out with a 13-play drive. It almost goes – it's basically 8 minutes. They get up quick with an Adams TD. And you're like, okay, but then the Vikes come back. 10-play drive, about 6 minutes, a little over 6 minutes, 21-yard run by Cook that Irv and somebody else, I think it was O'Neal, opened that up. That was a nice, so it's 7-7. Then, dude, a 15-play drive, 72 yards, almost 9 minutes, 8:54. It's 14-7. And at that point, I'm like, wow. So this is our second time we got the ball, and it's 6 minutes. So we got the ball somewhere in the six-minute mark of the first and then second. So in the back of your head, you're like, okay, well, this is going to be interesting. I guess we got to go back and score. And that's exactly what happened. 12 plays, 67 yards, over 6 minutes. It's 14-14. Irv Smith on that drive had a really nice 16-yard catch. Obviously, Cook got in as well from you know, close range. He had a nice run on that. Overall, though, at the halftime, it's 14-14. You can see the run blocking, not just from a couple guys, basically the whole line. Heavy on the run, and we finally saw not just the short passing, which we've seen a little bit, then mix it in lately, but the screen game to the tight end or the wide receiver. That was good to see. What'd you think, though, just with that weird, basically two positions apiece, and that was basically the time frame? It's such an awkward moment there, but I knew we had the ball, and I was thinking, okay, the way this is going, I guess we're going to have to score right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm not ancient, but I am old-fashioned, and I like this kind of football. I like defensive play, and I like running the football. And I think this might be with like kind of how I grew up in football, was just kind of run the ball, and run it till they stop it, basically. And they weren't stopping it. And Cook was, you know, the offensive line, like you said, something got in them, whether it's the water or the weather or something. But all of a sudden, things started to come together. Now we're in week 8, and you're starting to see things come together. Cleveland came in, played much better. This time around, started opening holes. I think Cook was happy about that, and he just started scooting through them and picking up yards. At first, you're looking at it, and you're a little surprised. You're like, geez, you know, these are great runs. And so he had something in him too, but it was surprising to say the least. And to be able to do long drives with running the ball, I think they threw the ball on third down once or twice. I think they tried to throw a little bit early, but nothing, you know, nothing down the field. Just 6, 7, 8 yards of pop throwing, and the rest just the offensive line moving people, surprised the Packers, surprised us, and we're very effective in running the ball. I think that kind of points at a change in philosophy here. Like, if we're going to win games, we can't turn the ball over. In saying that, maybe Kirk doesn't throw as much, and if we have success running the ball like we just did, I think you got to continue to do that. Now, you ought to worry about the tread on Cook's tires, but you just paid him. Obviously, you don't want to run him into the ground, but you can't deny the dominance that you saw in that running game. And to move away from it now, I think would do a big disservice to this team.
Yeah, and even though, and maybe some people will look at that, well, we're 6 in attempts. What are you talking about? But we've been talking about it too. Like, why on 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 6, do we have to take deep shots all the time? We take enough deep shots. Like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it in this game. And sure enough, they came right out. The Vikings did. 10 play, 85 yards, about a 5-minute drive. Cook, you know, had some highlights there. Here's a case in point, what you said about throwing on third downs, that we got just enough of them. We got one to Irv Smith earlier. This one went to Beebe on a 3rd and 8, little 16-yard pickup or whatever. And then two pass interference calls that were pretty clear-cut down near the goal line. And, you know, it's 21-14, and we didn't get consistent pressure the whole game, but we got pressure on defense, and just to move him off his spot, they kept saying that during the game, and I thought that was that was key. Right away, turnover on downs, 6 plays, 38 yards, but they turned it over on downs. They had one big play, I think, and then they threw 4 straight times, and you know, Vikes respond right away with a quick little 2-minute strike, and obviously that's where the screen pass game came in. Two offensive linemen, Bradbury definitely made a nice cut, you know, cut block. And also O'Neal on the other side made a nice little, I'm going to get in the way. Kind of like a big man in basketball, how you just kind of clog the lane and let the guard go by. Cook made his juke move. Either way, you know, the dude was just on fire. It's 28-14 now. 4 touchdowns for Cook. We'll get into all the records he set and whatnot. But on a screen pass like that, that was freaking great. And on that turnover of downs, Harrison Smith, you know, had a nice little pass block at the end there. And I like the consistent either pressure or getting him off the spot. He was holding the ball, which is something that even though he's dangerous outside the pocket, you'd rather have Rodgers holding the ball a little bit more rather than just throwing darts like he did in game one.
Yeah, and, you know, the weather was definitely an issue with the wind, and so you don't want to put everything on. Maybe the Vikings are, you know, taking the ball out of Kirk's hands, which I've been hearing a lot. It was a very windy day. Now, in saying that, they went on 4th and 10, which I found incredibly disrespectful. I was, you know, that was almost like a punch in the gut there. Like, you're at 4th and 10, Packers being, and they're going to go for it on 4th and 10. Not only that, throw a shot in the end zone. Now, it makes sense in some ways, but I just was a little offended with that. Like, really? This is what you think of our defense? You're going to go on 4th and 10. And, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, and they'll probably be successful with it because of the way the year has gone. Exactly. But they weren't. You were right. Harrison Smith, nice pass breakup in the end zone. And, but you know, it's something that you just don't see often. And I was just like, I wrote in my notes, wow, disrespectful on that one. You know, it's more circumstance probably than anything or respect. Just their kicker couldn't kick. Our kicker couldn't kick. Nobody could kick that game. The wind was so bad. And then you saw, like you said, that screen pass to Cook, which is a thing of beauty. And we've been calling for it mostly, I think, since the beginning of the season. Yeah. And, finally did it. And, you know, that's where you start to see what Cleveland can do. Now, I'm not a big fan of not thinking of him as a tackle. So all these people that want to move him permanently to guard because he had one good game, we have to think about maybe the next 10 years of his career. And you want to probably see that at tackle, but he made a great play throwing a screen on the screen and broke Cook. Now, a lot of it was Cook and a lot of it was the offensive line, but it's good to be able to talk well of the offensive line for a game. And, you know, this has got to be the ticket going forward this year is just run the football. You know, if they stop the run, maybe we'll think of doing something else. But if you can do that consistently, eat up the clock, run the ball, and play decent defense, I think you got a recipe to win some games here.
Yeah, and we've already saw the last couple of games that we added the little shotgun in there in the short passing. So screen passing, short pass, it doesn't always have to be to Cook. We got a couple out to the tight ends as well. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. This was a damn good, you know, outing for the O-line just in general. But you're right with that 4th down. I thought the same thing. And also, but I'm thinking, well, fuck. I mean, how many 4th downs have we given up this year? And sure enough, on the next drive, we gave up a 4th and 3rd conversion. I'm like, here we go. They're going to score right here. But they had some penalties. It forced them to punt. I think it was like a 3rd and 28. And Kendricks on a deep ball knocks it away. And, you know, you know, we made them punt. So it was like, all right, dude, here we go. They had a 10-play, I'm looking at it, 10-play drive, but penalties, and I believe there was a sack in there or something like that. It knocked them back. Now, we didn't go and score after that, but we did manage to get a first down, kind of flip the field, and then they turned over on downs again. Unfortunately, down the stretch, you know, we had the first three and out, and that was late in the game, and I was thinking, okay, when is that going to – you know, when's that going to start to happen? And even in some of these last drives, you had Cook had another 27-yard run. Irv Smith had a first down, but there was a penalty. And so we had to bring it back. I totally forgot about that. It was that's right. He pushed off. And I think there was a holding. So that kind of neutralized that thing. And they ended up getting a touchdown. And in the fourth quarter, 11 minutes left, 28-14. We've been here before, up by like two scores. So you're like, yeah, the game's not over. Packers have the ball. It was like third and nine in back-to-back blitzes by Gladney. One found a home to get rid of the ball, just kind of cleaning some of that up. Harris had a PI, but the ref picked up the flag on a fourth and nine. And I thought, okay. We'll take it. We'll take it. We'll definitely take it. I got a couple of questions for you. One is, well, the third and one thing, the timeout later in that game felt like kind of like, well, it's third and one. You call timeout. That was kind of weird. There was a tackle for loss right up the gut. I think it was Amos who came up. That kind of screwed that drive up. But on the, you know, after they scored a touchdown, to Adams again, who he had three of them, I believe, but they failed the we thought they failed the 2-point, but they ended up getting it. So it's 28-22. What did you think of the, hey, it's windy, let's just try to run it? They did, like on that third down I'm speaking of course you're going to try to run it until you can't, but it was third and nine, and they set up like a shotgun formation to kind of look like it was going to be a pass, but we ended up just dumping it off, or not dumping it off, but handing it off to Cook and giving, you know, of course, like you said, it was super windy. So maybe that played into it. And the defense had played great, but we've just seen this before this season. What were your thoughts on us not at least trying to get the first down through the air? Did you think that was a little too conservative? Because one thing about Zimmer is, for the most part, to me, that sounded – I don't think that was Kubiak. Dude, I think he was like, hey, you fucking watch yourself on the third and nine. You can make it look like a pass, but don't you dare.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and I'd just like to go back a little bit and say this is probably one of the better refereed games we've seen at Lambeau Field. Now, I don't know if because there's no people there or maybe it's the crew, but I just can't remember a game more fairly called. Yeah, there's some things that were, you know, touch and go as to calls, but it seemed like it was pretty fairly called, holding for them. They're, you know, in the backfield, these guys hold constantly. They've been doing it for years. They got tagged on that, holding calls from their offensive line. They got some of those. So it just seemed like, you know, it was a game that finally, you know, we're going for now. You put, you know, 50,000 fans in Lambeau Field, I don't think they're going to make a lot of those calls. It's just kind of the way it goes. But as far as that last drive, I think you're right about Zimmer. I think he was like, look, we're not pissing this game away. I'll leave it to my defense, something I have my hands on, to try to close this game out. I just don't think he wanted Kirk to drop back and make a stupid pass at all. He knows that, you know, that opportunity is there, and Kirk with the wind and Kirk having not thrown much of that, I just think he put it all together and said, look, if we're going to lose this game, it's going to be my defense. It's going to be on me. We've done this. Give me another quarterback in that position, and I think I would probably be a little bit more like, well, why didn't you throw there? But considering the way the game was, the weather, Zimmer, where he has his handprint on this team, I really think that he just said exactly what you said. It was, look, we're going to run it three times. You can hide it. You can disguise it. You can do whatever you want, but it's going to be three runs. We're going to eat as much of this clock as we can, and then we're going to play defense.
Wish you would have said that on that fourth and three, those deep, like three or four shots earlier this year when we went deep, when we could have just picked up a first down. But hey, you know, that this does play. And I don't think it was just Kirk, the the not passing much, that's a good point. But this has been him since he's been here. This is just him. I don't care if it's Bradford or anybody. This is him, and it definitely seemed like you said, hey, I got the defense playing good. Everything's cool. It sure would have sucked. We did have that 12-man on the field. Troy Dye just got off there after something. We're like, oh, we got to get – woulda, coulda, shoulda. Oh, no, not anymore. But they're driving. What's going through your head when they're driving? They're getting first downs. They're moving the ball. Obviously, you know, the third and nine or not third and nine, but was it second down? I don't know. There wasn't many plays left at that point, but DJ came around and made the play of the game when we really, really needed it. But what was going through your mind just as they're starting to march down the field a little bit?
For Christ's sake, Chris, you know what was on my mind.
It's on everybody. I want to hear it. I want to take it to the torture chamber.
Oh, my God. You give 47 seconds left to Aaron Rodgers in his home park. With no crowd, we are depleted with defensive backs.
Oh,
we have rookies everywhere. We have little to no pressure, but I mean improved pressure. I'd like to talk a little bit about what Zim's doing with DJ Wonnum. I think he's becoming what we always wanted Anthony Barr to be. Moving him inside, outside, linebacker. On the edge, just moving him everywhere. I think Zim really likes this kid, so we're going to see a lot of him in the future. And so you're thinking the inevitable. I mean, he'll slip out of the pocket, does what he always does. I mean, literally every time I see Rodgers get out of the pocket and throw a pass, he doesn't play around, man. He goes for the end zone. For some reason, we can't cover in a scramble drill, and he just takes advantage of it every time. And so when he's floated out of the pocket there and you got ready to throw that ball, you know, you could see Wonnum lurking, but you're used to like Everson overrunning that or doing something dumb. And Wonnum just hit him and kept his arm down. And I thought they were going to rule that an incomplete pass because it did appear that he was going forward a little bit. You're so conditioned in Green Bay that everything goes their way that
right.
You think, you know, even if his hand went an eighth of an inch forward or in any that they would get that call, but they didn't. And we survived. It was a good play by Wonnum just to stick with the play and keep going at it. But yeah, I mean, your original question, of course, everybody thought that Rodgers would come back and win that game.
Yeah, you're right too, because he does he'll just strike it deep, and he's just got a huge arm, and bad shit happens. And this season in general too, even without the Rodgers and the Green Bay and at Green Bay, and we've actually done really well since Rodgers has been there. I think this is the fourth time we've won in Green Bay. 2015, we won the division in Green Bay, the last game of the year. So, but yeah, it's hard not to have that. Just living in Loserville in general, talking about the Ghosts in a second here, a little down the line at the end of the podcast, look how they lost on an extra point to the guy who just had a sports hernia. But anyway, talking about the defense, Vikings. Go ahead.
You can't help but consider draft position there. Now, I'm not a Tankett guy, but, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, well, you know, losing this game is not the worst thing in the world. You know, you stay in the tankathon and, you know, maybe you get a better pick. But it's always, you know, you don't want to deal with cheeseheads. And we see a lot of them around here. You don't want to deal with cheeseheads being swept for the year. So save face for the season, I think, to go ahead and get one from them. And, you know, we'll see where what the future holds. But I think it's going to be a lot of running the football, playing defense and watching this defense improve. You know it's going to improve. Now you just got to keep your eye on it, see who's improving and who's there for next year. And I do see improvement. I think they're playing a lot better as a team. And now you got to think to yourself, this is Eric Kendricks' defense. At this point, you know, he's the leader of this defense, and he was when he was at UCLA, and he did very well there. So I don't think it's asking too much of Kendricks to be the leader of this defense. I think he's perfectly positioned to do that. Now he's just got to make it his defense.
Yeah, and we did, you know, when we recorded the pod last week, we didn't have about four or five guys, and we did have a late rush of, hey, they're going to be able to start now. So it was like, okay, cool. But even with that, and then obviously, you know, we had some injuries on the cornerbacks. But when you look at the starting defense from yesterday, the DN, seventh round, fourth round, D-tackle, seventh round, fourth round, linebackers, undrafted, second round, fourth round, third round corner, first round pick, first round pick and then undrafted. We really, you know, we already knew with Pierce and no Hunter that it's rough, but we've even lost some folks beyond that. So, and obviously just dealing with rookie corners, they're either out of position or in position and don't close on the ball. Gladney's really hit or miss. Sometimes you're like, oh, he's right with them. That was a great play. And then you look at the rest of the game, you're like, I don't know. But, you know, the whole – the tankathon thing to me is just funny because you always want to beat the damn Packers. There's just no way around it. But that was one of the best graded out. You know, a lot of people like to talk analytics nowadays. I mean, if you look at the top five offensive players, three of them, O'Neal, Cleveland, and Reef, Cook and Irv Smith were the other ones that they graded the top on the team. I mean, they had a great game. If you look at Cook, 111 of his 163 yards occurred after the contact. And this is the first time we didn't allow a pressure, a sack against the Packers, or in general, since week 14, 2008. But you know what? We did allow a sack, which would be a pressure as well. We had one sack, one pressure. But I don't want to rip that stat apart. But even, dude, this is how struggle we've had at this offensive line. Cleveland, in his second start, the grading that he got with PFF, Pat Elflein in all these starts since 2017 has only had three games above where he was, and he's never graded out that good. So, I mean, these are grades, yada, yada, yada. We can sit there and look and say, despite our 2-5 record, they rank us as the 14th best team because of our, you know, who we faced through these games. We have, you know, the hardest one now off of this week. We had the hardest schedule through eight games. So, I mean, that's something. Also, what the hell's his name? Hercules. Hercules got in there and actually started getting some pressure too, which is always nice. If you look at Dalvin Cook, became the first player in NFL history to score touchdowns on a team's first four possessions of a game. And that's such a weird thing that even, you know, that it got to that point. Like that many, like, oh, that's crazy. But anyway, if you look at it, that four-touchdown game, obviously not a quarterback, but the four-touchdown game, non-quarterback, it's the third four-touchdown game in Vikings history. Chuck Foreman had one in 75, and Ahmad Rashad back in 79. No one scored five TDs in a game, straight up scoring them as a skilled player. But, man, that was a hell of a game. Any last words you want to talk about when it comes to, you know, that game?
Maybe just a take on the bye week. You know, it seems like a change in philosophy a little bit, or maybe just a tightening down. And I think Zimmer kind of grabbed this team by the horns and he just said, you know, after watching film and doing what he does, I couldn't be happier with the guy. I think he decided that, you know, we're going to have to run the ball and we're going to have to play defense. And I've mentioned it earlier in the show, and I want to stress it again that, you know, that those are the ways you win football games. It's the tired old thing, and everybody wants to flash and razzle dazzle. And if you got the players to do that, you got a Pat Mahomes or a different quarterback like that. Yeah, you can afford to do some of those things, but when you got the personnel you do and the coach that you do, I like to see it. I like to see, you know, 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, 6 yards. I like to see running plays, and I like to see, I think that gets an offensive line that's been beaten up and maligned all season, a chance to just kind of shove it in your face and go, okay, look, you know, this is what we do. We go downhill and we run guys over, and it helps their confidence, will help, you know, the play calling and the pass protection. It helps everything if you can successfully run the football. And I'm just impressed with the defense, and shorten this up. I just think it's going to take some time, but you know, with those 15 draft picks we got in, a lot of them on the defense, a lot of young kids seeing time. It can't help but help us for next year. I think, you know, you don't want to already go to next year, but you're put in this position where you lost a lot of starters And now you're starting to see the cream of this defense rise to the top. Now, we're not anywhere near a finished defense, but you're starting to see parts come into play. Wanham, Cam Dantzler, he got knocked up a little bit there. And then Boyd played well in the cornerbacks. You'd like to see somebody maybe step up at safety a little bit. Dye played well at linebacker. You've got, defensive tackles that can kind of play a little bit with Mata'afa and Lynch, who can come in and do a little rotation there. So you're starting to see players kind of stick their head out and show up in this defense, and it can't help but, but be a good sign for next season.
And the whole running, we're going to run more. We were already sixth in the league in attempts with a bye week. So I don't think it's just running more. I think this season mostly has to do with some dumb passes and a defense that hasn't been able to stop people. I think that's what it comes down to. Gladney's been hit or miss. If you look at it, though, he's given up. He's the worst ranked right now. After this week, he's the worst ranked out of 76 corners to be targeted at least 20 times. He's given up 140.3 passer rating. But the thing is, there's times when you see him and you go, wow, that was a good play. He was right with him, dude. So the confidence is there. And this is something, like you mentioned, and we both mentioned that, we trust that the defense will get better. We didn't expect all these injuries and people to be out, and people to get tweaks for a year. But, and I'm not ripping Hunter, obviously. I'm ripping the coach there. But we knew that it would tighten up. Now we got the offensive line, how it played good. Now we got to see it, because we can chuck the ball around. We got skill. You said we need the players. We got the skill players. But you need the time, too. So I really think it's about getting, like you said, the defense is going to be crucial down the stretch. And we don't mean crucial like, well, we got to win six out of the, we're not talking about that. This whole thing about the playoffs, we talked about this on air. It's like, can we win three more? So that would be four in a row. I know the schedule. I see it. I see that there's some winnable games. We both see it, guys. But why are we talking about that just yet? Let's get like four under our belt, then go, hey, with the remaining schedule, we might be able to get the playoffs. Now, there is a backup plan just in case, because we're starting to see more spread and more spread, and you can only get away with, because the bye weeks go away. So they've been able to use that bye week or push it to a Tuesday and allow that maneuver something. But they're, at some point, the maneuvering's over. It's going to be like the Big Ten and the Pac-12 who came back in college. You're just going to have to play your schedule. So if something happens, and that, like I said, they're starting to see some spread in some teams, and I think, it matters who the actual players are. If they cancel it, I really think that plays into it. But they're throwing around an idea, because this is our eighth game, so we're halfway through the season. They're throwing around an idea that they're going to not only allow, we already had, an extra team getting in this year, but they're going to throw around an idea of 16 teams in. If it comes, so you don't have to come down to, well, winning percentage, because once you get into winning percentage, everybody has that argument until it's their squad, right, Aaron? Like, you can say, oh, yeah, but there's winning percentage. Okay, but then look at your schedule, look at our schedule, and then start, you have two less games than us? Why? But you have a better winning percentage? We had a tougher schedule. Everybody likes to say this shit, Aaron, until it's their squad, and then they go, oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, if it comes down to a differential in number of games and you have to go to something like winning percentage, it just doesn't make any sense. So I think your backup plan is probably the way, you got to maybe open it up for a couple other teams to get in the playoffs. I mean, you're still going to have some people like in college football that are going to feel slighted, but that seems to be the best way to go. Now, we are literally, Chris, I think we just passed the trade deadline, and as of, I've just checked while you were talking, the old interwebs, and I didn't see we made one move, zero moves at the trade deadline. So, I don't think anybody really expected that.
Yeah. I thought we would have Rudolph, I really thought it'd be Rudolph, because Irv Smith can block better than him already. He's faster. He may not be the red zone threat Rudolph is just yet. But then again, how many passes have we thrown to him in the fucking red zone? You know what I mean? So I did think it would be Rudolph. Fair amount of people thought about some other, you know, folks in there. I didn't think it would be Harry. I didn't think we'd get – there's no point in getting rid of Harrison Smith. Now, if his game falls off, sure. You know, whatever improves the squad, you know, I'm all for. But I'm not – we have a core. If we got a bunch of young players in a solid core that we have here for a while, why the fuck get rid of the core? That makes no sense. But, yeah, no big moves. No, you know, in the forums they were saying 6-8. You know, you could go to 1500 and they're talking about, oh, we got to make a bunch of moves like it's the MLB and we got a farm system and shit like that. It didn't ever line up. Moving on, though, 3-4 Lions come to town. And, you know, even saying coming to town, it's like we don't have home field advantage. We've already lost the play. Like, that's what's hurting us this year, too. Let's be honest, because that place is fucking nuts. We probably have a game or two more wins wise, or maybe just one game or whatever, but this game will be indoor. There'll be no wind, so you know, we don't have to worry about some kind of weird kick or whatever. Both sides at this early, you know, injury report have a bunch of questionable. Davis linebacker's out. That's the only one on both sides that are totally out right now that we know. Fields, who we picked up not long ago, cornerback, is questionable. Boyd, Hill, and Danzler. And when you got a guy that likes to sling the ball, it's always funky, right? But when you see these teams match up, it's pretty freaking close, man. It comes down to like 7 yards total. We run the ball better. They pass the ball better, which makes sense if you look at the attempts. You know, we both kind of gave up more passing. We give up a little less rushing. You know? So it's basically a pick 'em game in my mind. We are a 4-point favorite at home. 52.5 is the over under. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to pick games this year because we know we're not as good as we were last year. And you just feel like, man, something's going to happen. Oh, this might happen. Oh, we don't have the home. It's just, it's weird to pick them this year, I got to say. But on paper, this should be another fourth quarter game.
I think you're right. And it is hard to pick them this year. I mean, you just don't know with COVID and who's in and who's out. You know, the Lions are the Lions. You can always go back to that. But even they look a little notch better than they have been, at least offensively. And we have to figure out what we're going to do with cornerbacks. And if we can get that somewhat dealt with in a satisfactory way, we're not, you know, going up against slouches here, Marvin Jones and Galladay and a few other guys that they got. I think we can stop the run pretty much from them, although we haven't seen Swift yet, so we don't know what he's going to do to our defense. But, you know, it's hard to call it because it could go either way, literally, because our defense, you know, could just get tore up by Galladay and Jones. Jones is no slouch. He tore us up with even the corners we had last year. So, and then I think, you know, offensively, we want to continue what we're doing right now. I think I've made that abundantly clear, is continue doing this if it's successful. If you got to throw the ball because you can't run and Detroit can stop you, it's a different thing. But I think if the Packers can't stop you, you got a pretty good chance of not being stopped by Detroit. So, you know, I think you try to eat the clock on this one, keep their offense off the field, and try to run the football and hope that Cook can hold it together. So I'm going to say we win. I just got a feeling we'll win this one. And like you said, so hard to call that. It's really hard to say this is why we're going to win.
Right.
But I think it's 28-21, something in there. I think we score at least a touchdown a quarter. And I think we can hold them. You know, Stafford's interesting because he is mobile, but he gets sacked a lot. So either he's holding on to the ball or the offensive line just isn't playing well. But, you know, their offensive line is built with everybody we thought we wanted to draft. So in the last few seasons. So, you know, you got to think that they're pretty good. So let's see how these young defensive players can do. And, you know, see who's playing at corner. There's a report that, you know, Zimmer said, I think, that Danzler has a chance to play. But, you know, he's got a tweak. And like you, I think you texted me back and said, yeah, but it's a tweak. And now we no longer know what a tweak is.
Yeah. You know? And that looked pretty scary there for a second too. You know, that was more than just knocking the wind out of yourself, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, for no reason, but I just got a feeling on it. I'm going to go 28-21 Vikings at home.
I got it 30-27 Vikings, and that Golladay, he missed the first 2 weeks, and he's put up numbers in 7 games. However, his status is actually a mystery right now. Well, in general, as far as are they going to sign him, you know, to extension off of this weird deal he's got. But there's a potential that he won't play. They're really in and out of if he's going to play. I just saw this on the prideofdetroit.com. So I hope this fucking site is not just bullshit and trying to get, like, you know, clickbait. But they have Marvin Hill. They have the Quintez. So, I mean, that would be nice just off that. But there is a possibility that he won't play. So that'd be kind of nice. Yeah, so 30-27, we got the Vikes both getting the W. I feel so much more confident, literally, just with the home crowd. Seriously, because you always play better at home, but the Vikings, with that atmosphere, generally always play better at home, right? So, now, as far as just to close out this stuff here with the Ghosts, I saw this tweet while the game was going down in the fourth quarter, the last couple of minutes for the Vikes. It said, odds the Gophers and the Vikings both blow a double-digit fourth-quarter lead in the same weekend. And I'm thinking, why did you have to fucking tweet that? We had Tua's brother looking like Tua. You know, when you get off to that kind of start, down 14 to zip, down 21 zip, not a pretty sight. We knew we were going to have some defensive liabilities this year, but I did think we'd get a little bit more out of that defensive line. I will say that. I mean, it was ugly. It was ugly to start a game like that. But then, okay, no big deal. It's 28-21. You're within range, or not within range. You got the lead. So, in, you know, okay, 28-21 and a half, considering you're down 14 two separate times, cool. We settled down. The offense, we knew we were going to have to rely on the offense more. Now, our passing hasn't really shown up all that well. Some of that is protection. We were grinding the hell out of the ball, but we come right out and we score a touchdown, Aaron. It's 35-21. They fumble. We get a field goal out of it. 38-21. And then we just fell asleep. We turned it over on downs. We got conservative. I mentioned, you know, what you thought of the conservative play from the Vikes, but that was a windy-ass day, like you mentioned. What did you think about some of these conservative plays that I know you? It's great to run the ball, and we both love it, and you mentioned, hey, if they can't stop it, you know, don't stop doing it. But when you're 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4 – I don't know. Like, what about a play action? I'm not sure, but Ibrahim had a great game. But 41 freaking carries. We can't do that to him too many more times. He had 4 touchdowns too, by the way. 15 attempts by Morgan. That's light, but not really, because I just mentioned, right? We had 50 carries overall. But I thought the last couple times, you know, the Gophers had the ball, they were just a little too conservative. I'm not saying, like, I complain about Kubiak with, you know, deep ball on 4th and 3, but I was a little shaky there with some of the play calling down the stretch. It kind of like they just, well, we're going to run. We're going to run and we're going to run.
Yeah, I can sort of agree with that. But it had been working for the entirety of the game, you know, up to that point. Moe's got 41 carries is a ridiculous amount, but he had 4 touchdowns in the first half. I mean, check that out, Delvin. And, you know, but it was successful. And why move away from something as successful as it was? That would be my thinking on maybe being more conservative, just because you have so much faith in the run because it's been successful for the game. And it does so many other things for you, like, you know, eats time off the clock. keeps your defense fresh. You know, all the great things that running the football successfully does, I think PJ just wanted to stick with that. But, I mean, it's a young defense, Chris. I mean, that's really it, young. And they don't know how to close out games. And I'm not too worried about it. I think they'll get better. And I think this is 8 scrimmages. I mean, basically in my mind, that's what this has come down to. Yes, they count, blah, blah, blah. You know, but you're basically getting 8 scrimmages here to get your team together for next season, especially in college football. Big Ten, I guess, college football. You got a late start. You're off.
But everybody did. Everybody did.
Right, but I really think everybody's kind of looking at it that way. I mean, what are ways to look at it? It's a free year eligibility-wise. So you're going to worry about incoming recruits now. Now your class is cut down because you don't know how many seniors are going to stay. Excuse me, I have to cough quick.
Well, the senior stay thing does come down to a couple rulings, no doubt. But it's really the good seniors, if they want to stay, they're going to stay because the count won't matter. It's just about the money, how many scholarships you're going to pay. I guess my point in that was we had a 3 and
basically, I just wanted to say that besides the whole scrimmage, non-scrimmage type of deal, I'm not too worried about it. You would want to win this game. And of course, it wasn't just the kicker's fault, but hell, if he would have made that kick, it's a different story. You go to another overtime. But I think really to quickly answer what your question was I think they just wanted to go dance with who brung them, stick with what got you there. And you try to eat some time off the clock. Nobody expected Tua's brother to go off like he did. And it's particularly late in the game. But apparently he's got that in him. And note to self, you know, this is what you're dealing with at that school. So now, you know, tough loss. Now you got 2 losses. But I think your defense will improve. I just think you never know week to week. You know, kicker problems, Chris. You've got... You know, COVID can pull a kid out for 3 weeks and then take your next guy. So now you're 3rd on the depth chart. You know, you don't want to be making excuses, but you just really don't know what you're going to line up and play with on a given Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, I hear you, but we had the ball. So it's we scored, got it to 38-28. They came down. We turned the ball over on downs. We had a 3-play drive, 6 yards. Next time we had the ball, 3-play drive, negative 5 yards, 5-play drive to punt. That's all I'm saying. In one of those drives, I would have liked to try to throw the ball 6 yards. So I don't really think that's like asking a whole lot, being that we got a guy that Mel Kiper, and I know he's not going to go in the first round, probably not even the second round maybe. If he even goes, people forget about that locally. He can come back. First of all, he could come back anyway. He's got another year eligibility, but everybody can come back technically, you know, if you're good anyway. But I guess that those 3 possessions to run the ball all 3 times, that's where I had a problem. And I think you're actually helping your defense as well. I do hear what you're saying with the defense, but I also think you're helping it because then you can get that extra first down. But it is going to be a long season now. We can see that with the defense. No doubt about it. It does feel like the first 8 games of 2 years ago. And then, as we documented back then, the last 4 games, man, we did really turn it around, no doubt about it. So it is a heartbreaker, man, no doubt about it. But the Gophers, speaking of passing a little bit, Illinois has the 5th worst passing defense in the nation. So I think we're going to have a little, you know, back and forth with that. Speaking of hard to pick, right? We're 0-2. Mm. Defense yeah. isn't that great this year. We knew we were going to have to rely on it. We got this game. This wouldn't have been the over-under not long ago, but 61.5. We are a 7.5-point favorite. I'm thinking we're going to win this game. But this is crazy. So we're giving up, and it's only 2 games, but we're giving up 47 points a game, right? But we're scoring 34. They're giving up 38, but they only score 15 points because they got walloped by Wisconsin early on. I had a tight game with Purdue. This is one of those that you just feel like it's going to happen. It's going to, you know, I do feel like the Gophers will win this game, but I do call for like a a 37-27 type game.
Yeah, I, you know, almost got that nailed on the, on my numbers there too. You know, it's just, you can't get any information about, you know, is Braylon Oliver going to be back? You know, we're three games in now, or did he opt out? You just don't know. And they won't give you any information. And it's, I guess it's a policy and that's good, but it's hard to really make a call on any of this because you don't know who's going to be there. But having said that, everything that you said, I agree with. Might add that, you know, you will see, hopefully see some defensive improvement and just, you know, run fits and maybe not breaking down. I think maybe they'll, every time you play together, hopefully they get a little bit better and maybe move in some parts that can work. Maybe the defensive line, we saw an improvement. Now let's improve on that a little bit more. But I got them winning two, and I got them at 32-27. So we're about in the same ballpark there.
We just need a damn W, man. We need a W. No doubt about it. I think they'll get it. Any last words, sir, before we shut this puppy down?
No, just follow us on Instagram, Living in Loserville Podcast. And like you said, we have a lot of back shows that we did earlier in the summer where we detailed a lot of old Viking seasons, basically highlights, and just kind of put it in the context of decades. We've got some good stuff on Kevin Garnett and Golden Gopher basketball. And so we're just trying to push those shows. And they're really great shows. Check them out. We got links to all these other shows. And, of course, you can find them anywhere you find podcasts.
Yeah, the Vikings 80s, 90s. We got an in-depth one on that 98 with Randy and just everything. So definitely go check them out. All right, hopefully we can talk about two victories from the Vikes in the Gulfs. Enjoy the night. Try to be safe. Peace.